Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome back to the Drive, Jay Binkley, Carrington Harrison, en route to go watch the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton. This is what we call the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Being as always, hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs fast with any university of Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, Bink, the top story of the day in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals. We'll start first with their star, Bobby Witt Jr., who earlier today extended his hit streak to 22 games, a league-leading hit streak. It sounded a lot like this earlier today on 96.5 The Fan.
Fastball bashed high in the air, deep to the right field corner. Meisner turns around. It's gone. An opposite field shot down the right field line. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr. And that puts the Royals in front 3-1 in the top of the fifth inning.
Bink, he has been the catalyst of the offense through what was a difficult stretch for the Royals, but 8 runs today as the boys head to Baltimore after a sweep of the Rays. Bobby Witt Jr., Bink, he's lived up to expectations. How long do you think this history can continue on as the boys in blue need him more and more every day?
Oh, man, it's tough. And you know he's going to be fine pitchers that don't want to be that pitcher that continues the streak, pitch around him, hit him as we saw today. We've seen others. It's going to be tough. I mean, I would love to see it get past 31 more Witt sits. Love to see it get to at least 32. But it's tough. You face better and better pitchers, especially when you start talking about the relief pitchers, not facing pitchers that'll face you 5 times in the game any longer. So it's going to be tough, but he's fun to watch. It's good to see the other Royals starting to pick it up and not just be him doing everything, which it has been. 22-game hitting streak now. And finally, he's starting to see Vinny start to hit a little bit. And hopefully, Massey can turn things around. Mikel Garcia has been great. Had another 3 hits today. He's hitting .296 now on the season. Pitching staff's been great, but need more of the offense. Remember Ned Yost used to tell me, hey, give me 3 guys in the lineup that can hit. Just give me 3. Don't care what it is, who it is. At a different times, can they hit? Salvador Perez starting to get hot as well at the right time. But this bodes well for Bobby. Because as good as his team gets, it gets Bobby more and more comfort, protection in the front and the back of his batting spots. But he's definitely must-see TV. 22-game hitting streak is ridiculous. I don't care how you slice it. It's crazy with what he's doing, considering that is the threat in this lineup. And many times been the only threat.
Bank, let's make a little prediction time here. Me and you, No one's listening. Let's just have some fun. Does Bobby Witt Jr. make it back to Kansas City with a hitting streak and still intact? He's got three in Baltimore. Baltimore pitching is bad. Like, that is one of the reasons why they are where they are this year. They're a sub-500 team out there in Baltimore. Does Bobby Witt Jr. return to the K next Monday with a 25-game hit streak?
I will. He'll be returning with a 25-game hit streak. He'll have those White Sox, who were pitching well at the beginning of the year. They can't hit, but they were pitching a little bit better towards the end of the year. But Baltimore is interesting. And I keep hearing this, well, it's a good test for the Royals. No, Baltimore is not a good test. Baltimore is 12-18. Through 30 games, Baltimore's won 12 games. Keep this in mind. 30 games last year, Baltimore is much different. They were 19-11 through 30 games last year. So things have changed for the Baltimore Orioles. This is not the same Baltimore Orioles you saw last year. Can they get hot? Can they turn things around? Absolutely. Teams can. But that pitching, man, continues to be bad for the Orioles.
Number two.
Speaking of the Kansas City Royals, Bink, they have won 9 of 10 and are arguably the hottest team in Major League Baseball. It felt like just a week ago, because it basically was. The Royals were getting ready for a series against the Rockies. They were sub 500. They were, what, 9-14? On the heels of a losing 6 of 7, it felt like it was doom and gloom around the city for the boys in blue, but they then swept the Rockies and have been great since. Bink, as we look back on it, and the Royals are in the midst of this hot streak and are now the fourth best record in the AL, do we credit the Royals for thumping a terrible Rockies team and getting back to winning ways? Because sometimes the schedule breaks just right, and you get that terrible team that gets you going.
You kept the bad team down. That's what you have to do. It's much, much worse when you lose to a bad team, and you have to quantify why you lost to such a bad team. Well, they had won in Detroit. Took them 10 innings, but they won that game 4-3. That was a huge game, to be honest with you. At Detroit, they'd lost the first two. They go to 9-14. Then against the Rockies, things were cruising. Then all of a sudden, here come the Rockies back in this game. You had to go to 11 innings to beat them. All right, but you do, 4-3. Then came the postponement the next day. Weird day. It's where that rainstorm came in, rained like hell the rest of the night, and it's like, all right. So then they moved it to Thursday, the doubleheader, which, to my chagrin, was during the draft, to be honest with you. It took a couple hours of pregame for the draft. But in that doubleheader, the Royals won 7-4 and 6-2 over the Rockies. Why is that significant? Well, they scored more than 4 runs. Because just 28 times now, the Royals have scored more than 4 runs. Only 5 times this season. Back on March 31st, April 4th, twice on the 24th. Because that was against America's new booty call, the Colorado Rockies. They beat them 7-4 and 6-2 before Houston came in. They beat Houston 2-3 and, of course, sweeping the Astros. But Colorado, at least twice, they were over that 4-run plateau that has been so tough to get to. Colorado was just the right time, team at the right time. Remember last year, this team was treading water. They go for 4 games in Chicago, win all 4. Then, of course, that spawned a 7-game winning streak for the Kansas City Royals. So, hey, man, take advantage when you get bad teams. But don't just play around with the bad teams. Beat the hell out of them. You know what? Chicago comes into Kansas City for 4 after Baltimore. So go win at least 2 out of Win 2 of 3 against the Orioles. Maybe you'll lose one. Who knows? It's tough. Major League Baseball is tough. You win 2 of 3. All of a sudden, you come back to KC. You get the White Sox for 4. And man, are the White Sox just what the doctor ordered. Just a lot like the Rockies.
Number 3.
Well, Bink, it wouldn't be a show with me and you if we didn't talk a little draft. The draft is exactly a week old. And a week ago today, exactly, they were preparing for the first round. But in the 3rd round, the Chiefs took edge player Ashton Gelati out of Louisville. You had his head coach, Brohm, on your show, and he said he reminds him, Ashton Gelati, of one current Kansas City Chief.
Well, I'll tell you, it's eerie similar. It really is. I know when we had Ashton here, it's like, man, we might have us another George Karloftis. And, you know, Ashton is just a guy that has a lot of similar traits. I mean, he plays relentless. He's powerful. He gives great effort. He's one of those guys off the field that you don't have to worry about anything. This guy is going to bring it every day at work. He's going to work in the off season to do everything right, just like George has. I think he could be a 10 to 15 year player. He keeps his body healthy. And I just think he's going to give such great effort and intensity on every play, he's going to do great things for the Chiefs.
Now, Bank, I don't think he's going to be a 15-year player in the league, so that would make him, what, 37 as an edge? I mean,
close to 40, yeah.
He's not Terrell Suggs. But, Bank, do you believe, two-part question, one, that Coach Brohm is correct, he could live up to expectations and become George Karlaftis, and part two, Bank, if, in fact, Coach Brohm is correct and he is, in fact, George Karlaftis, does that mean the Chiefs get to walk on their current edge because they found their next edge?
He could. I mean, that's the logical thing that happens with this team because you can't pay everybody. They're going to have four guys now out of the starters in the league that are the highest paid. Creed Humphrey, highest paid center. Chris Jones, highest paid defensive tackle. Harrison Butker, highest paid kicker. Trey Smith about to be the highest paid guard. You can't keep doing this. Like, it's nice. It's great they're able to do it. Props to Brett Veach and be able to sign guys to different contracts. But the Karlaftis comparison, I love. Because here's the one thing about it. Having a guy with that kind of motor, and Mark Hagan was a defensive coordinator at Purdue that came over with Coach Brohm at Louisville. And I love the fact that they exchanged phone numbers. Matter of fact, Ashton said this at his post-draft press conference when the media was talking to him.
George, so George and I are coached by the same coach, Mark Hagan. He had him at Purdue, and then Coach Hagan came to us. But the relation with George is he was training with us just because free facility, you know, off-season. And so my coach was like, I think this would be a good person to get in with. He's a smart guy. I think you would relate to him a little bit. So, you know, obviously, take advantage of what you can. And I was doing Zoom meetings, or not Zoom meetings, like film study with him, watching plays. He was watching practice, being like, oh, that's bad. You got to fix that. Like, he's very critical. But in a lot of ways, he helped refine how I pass rush and, you know, get to this level to be considered. So it's kind of like a mentor type role. I don't be, like, trying to blow his phone up too much. I try to respect it. But now he ain't got no choice. He's stuck with me.
So he's blowing his phone up. Didn't want to blow his phone up too much, Rob. But now, as he says, he's stuck with him. The one thing I liked about it there, Coach George, right? He's watching film study with him, watching practice. He was training there. But he didn't just tell him how good he was. He told him where he could improve, what he didn't like. And here these guys become teammates. Don't tell me the Chiefs don't think about these type of things. These type of things don't come up as part of the equation when you go out and draft players. That all of a sudden, here's this mentorship that George Karlaftis has with one Ashton Gelati.
Number four.
Our fourth and final hit, Bank, stays in that draft lane. Stays in that third round lane, as the Chiefs didn't have one, but they had two third round picks. They didn't just take Ashton Gelati, the edge rusher out of Louisville. They also took Noel Williams, the cornerback out of Cal. You had his head coach, Justin Wilcox, on the show, and he said what type of player the Chiefs are getting in Noel Williams.
I mean, he was the guy that he woke up. He was one of the first guys in the building because he had a routine. You know, he was taking care of his body. He was doing cold tubs. He wanted to make sure and get his food, you know, early in the morning before we had meetings and practice. You know, what time he went to bed. He was very he had a very strict schedule for himself. And so I think the best way that I could describe him, and he's like a number of guys that we had this year on that side that are getting drafted, is they were making decisions about football when they're outside the football building. And so I think, you know, probably that, and he's got a great personality. He's a fun guy to be around, but he just get very serious about his craft, and he took it serious and made decisions, you know, regarding his football life, really, at each and every moment. So I think that there's a reason that he played so well and improved during his time here. And again, I'm sure he's going to attack this next phase the same way.
Bink, I know it's a third round pick. I know you didn't like the first round pick, but this is the guy I circle as the best pick in the future from the Kansas City Chiefs. When we look back at the 2025 draft, are you with me and Noel Williams will be the star the Chiefs got?
Yes, 100%. I agree totally with you on this. Noel Williams was my favorite pick. We talked about a lot on the Character Concerns draft special. My favorite pick of the draft for the Chiefs. Let's fake about it for a second. This guy had two fumble returns for touchdowns at Cal, one interception return. Oh, and one kickoff return as well. That's very important to the Chiefs. Remember, they won the draft guys that not only good playing positions, but also guys that could be good in the return game as well, with the return coming up to 35 instead of the 30-yard line. I keep hearing stuff about, well, he's a shaky tackler, and he may not be a great tackler. Whether you've read a publication and say, well, there's one publication that's very good, and it's called The Beast by Dayton Brugler, who puts it out. It's one of the best. And this is what he had to say about his run. It says, outstanding run defender, willing to set hard edge. Also, forceful tackler who brings his feet, keeps eyes up, and rarely misses. Willing to throw hands. This guy, despite what you may have heard, very good against the run, very good at setting the edge. This is the perfect Spags guy. Now, pass rush, yeah, maybe they'll use him, maybe they won't. Outside corner, maybe they'll use the inside, like a Trey McDuffie, that he can go inside now when Fulton's here. And, of course, Jalen Watson and or Aiden Williams on the outside. But make no mistake about it, they'll find the best way to utilize this guy. But he has shown the ability to get to the ball. The guy is a ball taker. He is a possession flipper. You don't make 14 interceptions in college football, almost one every two games, by not being a guy that's around the football. Nine pass breakups. He led the nation in interceptions this year with seven. This guy can play. I'm excited to see what he can do, because you know Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo have special things for this dude. I feel this guy can be a starter. I know Rob's felt that way as well, but we talked about two guys that we really think could be starters. Yes, a lot of rotation pieces on some of the other draft picks, but certain guys like Royals at wide receiver, be fourth wide receiver, that's fine. I expect good production from him. Jalen Royals, he'll be that fourth spot probably. He'll be fighting with Juju over it. But, you know, you have Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice in the equation, Hollywood Brown. So the pressure is not going to be there like you've seen on other wide receivers. But as far as being a starter, I do think Noel Williams will be one of those guys really knocking on the door to be a starter for the Chiefs on day one.
And that concludes the Hits Bank, brought to you by Baker University. Your guys earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Hey, before I move on to the Royals one more time, are you a fan of Mountain Dew, Rob? I heard you in CDOT yesterday talking about, I believe it was yesterday, talking about how Texas Roadhouse is now the number one restaurant, followed by Olive Garden, Chili's, love Chili's, followed by Applebee's and Buffalo Wild Wings. Love Buffalo Wild Wings too, by the way.
I am not a Mountain Dew guy. I'm not really, this is going to make me sound soft, and that's fine. I'm not a huge, I don't handle caffeine well. I have my one cup, maybe two cups of coffee in the morning, but like, if it gets to like 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night, if I have caffeine, I don't sleep well. So, man, that makes me a loser, whatever, so be it. I'm not a Mountain Dew guy because the caffeine, I'm that way with most sodas. It just does, the caffeine does things to me I don't like.
I hear so many people talking about being a coffee drinker. I'm not talking about going to Starbucks and getting a latte. If you're a coffee drinker, you know what you do? You crank up some Folgers in the morning. You crank up that. But I feel like coffee's become a latte or mocha type thing. No. Coffee's Folgers, man. The smell of Folgers when you wake up. I'm not a coffee guy, to be honest with you. Never have been. But I have been a Monster Energy drinks, Red Bull. Matter of fact, had one earlier today. I will do that. But Mountain Dew, man. There is something about a Mountain Dew in the morning, Rob. That is my go-to coffee. You know what? It's nice and cold. It's in the fridge. I keep my Mountain Dews there. I love having a nice Mountain Dew. And by the way, on those shows, those fans football shows we were doing last football season on Fridays with Mitch Schwartz, did you know Buffalo Wild Wings has a special blend of Mountain Dew only available at Buffalo Wild Wings? It's the only place you can get it, Rob. The only place. I know they have one already for Taco Bell as well, but they had one for Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's like a specialty beer brew type of deal, but for Mountain Dew? Or is it like the Coke machine at McDonald's where it just that Coke hits different? Is that kind of how
it
works?
No,
I've never heard of this before.
It's a special Mountain Dew only available at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was purple. It came in purple, but I love Mountain Dew, and I would order a regular Mountain Dew when I got there. And they said, why don't you try this one that they just make for Buffalo Wild Wings? And I was like, okay, then, let's try it. Because we were on our Buffalo Wild Wings circuit of all the Buffalo Wild Wings in the city, and St. Joe, you name it, Buffalo Wild Wings, but I started drinking this drink. Absolutely loved it. But here's the deal. Here's why I bring it up. So when you buy a Mountain Dew, which most of the times now I do, I looked at my fridge, I looked at the label, and the ones here we have in our company kitchen, it still has MTN Dew. They shortened the Mountain. I heard from somebody in Kansas today. I knew they were going to put these new labels out starting in May and going through summer. They're returning to Mountain Dew, actually spelling the word Mountain out on the labels, Rob. First time since 2009. Can't go wrong with that. I love the fact that Mountain Dew's getting a new label, getting a new look, going back to Mountain Dew, not MTN Dew. Because I feel like we shorten everything these days. LOL, OMG, ROTFL, we shorten everything. Mountain Dew's now MTN. No, we're going back to Mountain Dew. And I did survey the counters, and we still have MTN Dews.
Text line is telling me now. The text line loves to just say things and say it's act like it's correct. So, grain of salt. Apparently, a lot of restaurants have their own secret exclusive Mountain Dew flavor bank, including and not limited to Applebee's.
Really?
You might have to do a tour to restaurant to taste all the Mountain Dew exclusives, because if you... I know Taco Bell has one. I just learned about Buffalo Wild Wings. Text line is saying they have a special one at Applebee's as well. Heaven forbid there's one at Chili's. I'm sure you've had that one if it exists. You might have to do a tour of the town for Mountain Dew.
Well, they have to be a Pepsi company, or they just... You know, get them both from the distributors, because a lot of times the Coke distributors won't have Mountain Dew because that's a Pepsi product. Some do. I didn't realize Applebee's had a special Mountain Dew. They've closed a couple of the Applebee's near me, and evidently it's still, fourth in the sit-down restaurants. I heard you guys talking about it, so I started doing more research on it. Applebee's still up there. But no, I do know Buffalo Wild Wings had their own Mountain Dew. And yes, there's a lot of sugar in it. The text line tells me nothing better than a cold can of Mountain Dew in the morning. True, but I've been using the bottles.
By the way, I looked it up because I was curious.
Okay. I use it for a spit can. I'll be honest with you.
Here are the list of restaurants that have exclusive Baja Blast, currently exclusive Mountain Dew flavors. KFC has one called Sweet Lightning. Witch, the sandwich place, I believe that's still in town, has one called Vibe. There's Dark Berry Bash at Applebee's. There's the one you mentioned at Buffalo Wild Wings, Legend.
It
also,
is good.
At gas stations around town, 7-Eleven has an exclusive flavor. Circle K has an exclusive flavor. Casey's has an exclusive flavor. And if you go to a Dollar General, they have an exclusive flavor. There was a larger list of restaurants that used to have exclusives, but they have stopped a lot of those. So you might have to do a tour of Kansas City just to get the Mountain Dew exclusives.
I might have to, but I'm just a fan of the regular Mountain Dew. But I did at Buffalo Wild Wings drink their special blend of Mountain Dew. But this is creative, if this is what they're doing, because every place feels special. They have a special blend of Mountain Dew. Text line agrees. They love Mountain Dew. They love waking up in the morning, grabbing caffeine. Hey, same as coffee. Coffee just takes longer, man. You got to brew it, whatever. Everybody's got to smell it, whatever. But you don't have to mess with it, man. You just go to the fridge and grab a cold Mountain Dew. There's no better way to wake up in the morning and grab that Mountain Dew. It's perfect. Anyway, didn't talk about the Royals. I'm sure we'll talk about them more coming up as we spent time talking about Mountain Dew.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to The Drive. J.B. Hinkley, Carrington Harrison. It's going to the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Royals win today 8-2. They scored over four runs. Double that, 8-2. Bobby Witt Jr. extends that hitting streak to 22 games. Royals now two games over 500 at 17-15. Text line, by the way. I didn't realize this, but you guys love your Mountain Dew. Even so that this 816 said he did a tour of Mountain Dew with his teenage sons last year. They got eight different ones and had a party, Rob. They're touring around to Mountain Dew. I'm shocked that we have this many Mountain Dew text in, but I'm learning a lot. I thought that, you know, found a special place, had a special blend, and they had it, but still, every morning. I know people like the cans, but man, 16.9 ounces of Mountain Dew, it hits a spot. Even so, I get the 24-ounce Mountain Dews there for a while, but that's a perfect morning drink for me. But as I mentioned, the Royals win today 8-2. Now, five games out of the 32 they've played, they have scored more than four runs, going back to March 31st, April 4th, twice on April 24th, and once today, of course, against Tampa Bay in May, as they went 8-2, as we've turned the calendar to May now. It's still shocking to me the Royals have played 32 games. Doesn't seem like it, but now they go play into the 12-18 Baltimore Orioles, who, by the way, were 19-11 through 30 games last year. The Royals play a weekend set against Baltimore. Already seen them here in Kansas City, so they'll put that series to bed in Baltimore before coming home. And the Chicago White Sox can be right here for them. Chicago White Sox for four games in Kansas City. It's fun. I do feel like the Royals have become that thing you have on every night again, which is good. That's a good thing, because I remember 14, 15, 16, 17, I think even 13, a lot of people did it, because they weren't officially eliminated until that final weekend in Chicago back in 2013. But the Royals become the thing you watch. I know people were watching the other day, and they didn't have the audio feed for TV. It wasn't right, so they're using the Rays. But I will say this. It's always available on 96.5 The Fan. You can always listen to the Royals broadcast if you want. But whether it's background noise or whatever, I don't know how you consume the Royals, Rob. I don't know if you sit there and watch every at-bat or every game, or if it's just kind of always on when you're doing your work or you're wrapping up the day. You can check out what the Royals are doing.
I'm a check-in type of person. I think I love baseball because baseball, at least this time of year, in October, it is live and die by every pitch. I love baseball because it's just something you can have on in the background. You don't have to lock into every single moment. You can kind of keep an eye on it. That's kind of how I watch the Royals. But I'm just happy that, you know, there was a time in that losing streak where it felt like the only time we're going to talk Royals in this show is going to be just doom and gloom, massive regression from last season. Can you believe they can't hit this, that, and the other? And it feels like, at least early, knock on wood, they're starting to turn the corner. They're coming out of the, you know, bad spell. They're hitting a little bit better. Their offense isn't relying on just one guy anymore, as Michael Garcia is doing.
Because Arizona, they were tearing it up.
It feels like we're starting to see the team we were promised, and that team had the city excited. I remember before opening day this year, the conversation was, if Jonathan India can get on base more, it makes Bobby Witt a run producer. Suddenly you have another weapon in the offense. If one of the Massey, Garcia, Melendez guys can take the step forward, you have another weapon on the offense. Now, Melendez and Massey don't appear to have taken that step forward. I mean, Melendez isn't even in the Major League club anymore, but it does look like Michael Garcia has taken that. And remember before opening day, the conversation was this bullpen combined with this starting rotation might build one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. And here we sit 30-ish games in on May 1st. The Royals are above 500 despite having a terrible stretch in the middle of April. And they might have the best pitching staff of all of baseball. And having a great pitching staff, as Dave Morse says, the currency of baseball, will give you a chance in every single game. And it is exciting again to watch the boys in blue, and they have two very winnable series on the horizon between the Orioles and White Sox. I mean, it could be a week from today, Bink, me and you are talking, and we're talking about a team that's what could be 23, you know, 24 wins. That's a very different feel to the city has the boys in blue just a week in advance, considering a week ago it was, hey, good job beating the Rockies, but it's just the Rockies.
Yeah, but then they go do it in Tampa. They win a series on the road. They sweep a series on the road. Because that was the one question. Yeah, the Royals play okay at Kauffman Stadium, but on the road, it's a little bit weaker. Well, they go and sweep the Rays. And the Rays are still looked upon as maybe a team that can make a run at the postseason. They're 14-17 now. They were 500 until they met the Kansas City Royals. They're right there in the thick of things. Only four games back from the Yankees, to be honest with you, in a loaded division with the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays in front of them, but there they are. In the AL Central, you get Detroit now, who's not been great, just 6-4 in their last 10 games. Cleveland, just 6-4 in their last 10. The Royals have won 9 of their last 10. They're 9-1 their last 10 games. They're getting hot at the right time. Minnesota was hot there for a while, but they're still 6-4 in their last 10 games. But still, I see this thing as the summer progresses, a two-team race. Detroit in Kansas City. Always felt that way. I still feel that way. But you know what? It's great having the pitching because you'd like to say, well, the pitching will start to come back to the means. Bubich will come back to the means. Lorenzen will come back to the means. Maybe. Maybe they'll carry it on. Statistics would say, no, it's not going to happen. But with Reagans and Lugo, you know, these two were two of the top four last year in the Cy Young. So they have proven history in Kansas City, have been able to do this throughout the year. And I do think the bats will come around. With Vinny is hitting right behind Bobby Witt, for him to be hitting better is only better for Bobby Witt Jr. I know his average now at 185, did have a home run yesterday, had a couple ribs today. And then Sal Perez starting the heat up, he hits behind Vinny. All these things help out Bobby Witt Jr. And India getting on base, this helps out Bobby Witt Jr. He led the Reds last year in on-base percentage, one of the best in baseball as far as getting on base. It's one of those things that Jonathan India does. It's why you see they made that move. And will the Royals make a move to bring in another bat? Maybe. Keg's going to be on the fast track. I know that Cody and Gold have, what, 215 people now? They went out and maybe trying to get 150 to go down to Springfield to watch Keg's. Now you got 215 going for the Cody and Gold road trip, which is great. He'll be in Omaha soon. And will he be playing more and more right field? He started to play a little bit that in Northwest Arkansas. We'll see what happens. But that's a bat you can definitely see in this lineup. I know a lot of people have been talking about Arenado. In fact, you could put him in here, put him in your lineup. You could then put Mikel Garcia at second base and have an Arenado at third. It depends on Massey. If Massey would start hitting, he's hitting 190 now, that is an option. That is an option going forward, starting to look at bats and who would be a good bat in this lineup, unless you want to be patient. Be patient and see if the hitting will start hitting. Because you're now in May, bats are starting to wake up. They definitely woke up a tune of 8 runs today against Tampa. They, like I said, they only had 4 games. They had more than 4 runs. 4, that was it until today. Today was the 5th day. So you've played 32 games and only 5 games you've had more than 4 runs. That's crazy to think this team is a couple games over 500. It's insane to me to think that, but that's the way they are. They're grinders. They're hard workers. It is fun to watch the Kansas City Royals, and I do think this team will keep this town occupied throughout the summer, even throughout the beginning of Chiefs season. I think people are still going to be paying attention to what the Kansas City Royals are doing. And this is a good thing. I know they're honoring the 2015 team this July against the Mets. It hardly seems like it's been 10 years, but now it's go time. Made the playoffs last year. I do feel they'll make it again this year as well. FanGraphs put it out. They gave the Royals a 69% chance, or no, 67% chance to make the postseason this year. They have Detroit at number one at 99%, and they have the Royals number two in the division at 67%. Cleveland, they have at 35%, and that was Baseball Reference. But if you want to go to something really, really analytical, and you look at the American League to make the wild card, they've got the Red Sox 59.7% chance, Astros 57.5%. Again, the Royals beat the Astros 2 out of 3. They've got the Rangers at 45.1%. Then, boom, there's the Royals at 40.4%, followed by the Twins for some reason, then the Guardians. Oh, by the way, the White Sox were last, Rob. They've got a 0% chance to make the postseason, according to FanGraphs.
Despite the fact they beat the brakes off the Brewers today? They get an update. Now the White Sox have won another game. Maybe it's all changed on the, is the south side the White Sox or is it the north side?
It's the south side. It's actually a decent stadium. I actually enjoyed going there.
It's
insane because nobody says that. I actually liked it.
I hated it. I was in Chicago. I was doing all the touristy stuff. I went to Wrigley. And I was like, you know what? I'm in town. Let's go to a Sox game, too. Not nearly as fun in a way worse part of town. Nothing going on around the stadium. The stadium itself was fine. But compared to Wrigley, which is probably unfair to compare it to.
That is very unfair.
After going, I flew up on a Friday morning, did a day in Wrigleyville, went to a day game on a Friday afternoon, Cubs. Then I hit Wrigleyville
That's
afterwards.
That's the south side, by the way, where the Cubs are.
Okay, so I hit that. And then on Sunday, I was like, before I get out of town, let's go to the north side and let's see the White Sox. Way less fun. Just light years less fun.
Oh, wait a minute. The Cubs play the north side. It's the White Sox on the south side.
I don't know which side, but either way.
Either way.
Wrigley was fun. I think it was U.S. Cellular when I was there. Not fun at all.
Was a guaranteed rate. Man, I actually liked that stadium. Believe it or not, I was there for the Royals in 14 when they ended up clinching.
I think you liked it because the Royals clinched in 14, not because the stadium was some, you know, grand old time.
Well, there was a sports bar that was the radio station that carries the White Sox. That was the one place, like the only place to go to. But I just remember like toll roads everywhere. It's like you had to have your quarters and everything ready to pay it in Chicago. But anyway, I wasn't a big fan of Chicago, but it's neither here nor there. But they beat the White Sox there. They'll get the White Sox coming up again. Text time to talk about the Mets. The Mets are a red-hot team. Yes, they did win 10 out of 12. Things are different now. The Diamondbacks came in. They beat them again today. They've won the last two games against New York Mets. Arizona Diamondbacks coming in and making a statement there against the New York Mets. Royals will play them later on in Arizona this year. We come back. Good stuff, though, from the Royals. I don't know if you're watching. You should be. We'll talk about them next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Carrington Harrison going to the Kentucky Derby this weekend. You do realize, Rob, I think it's going to rain this weekend. I don't know if you've seen the forecast.
I have not seen the forecast. You know what that means? You got to pick a mutter.
Yeah, you got to pick a mutter. And I'll text Henry because he was good at picking that thaw. Supposedly, there's only three of them for mudding experience. Admire Daytona, which 30-1 has experience in it. Publisher, 20-1 as far as having a mudding experience. And I will say this, news just came out from The Athletic. The Bob Baffert trained horse Rodriguez, who had 12-1 odds, third best in the field, scratched from the Kentucky Derby because of a bruised foot. So he's no longer in it.
Didn't Baffert get suspended for a while for the Derby?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, but he trained this horse evidently. But Baffert's like Saban, man. I always pick Baffert horses because he's like the Saban of horse racing. I just go with it. But
Bob Baffert gets about three months of fame and glory, and then he disappears from the ether. That's into the ether. Excuse me.
He just makes a lot of money and goes out and starts breeding his horses.
He's a trainer, though, right? He just trains them. He gets them running. I didn't think he was a breeder. I thought he was the trainer.
Yeah, I guess he is a trainer, yeah. But I guess they turn around and breed the horse, make a lot of money. Publisher, by the way, who's racing, is the son of the 2015 Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. So that might be one to look at there. American Promise, high odds at him. I like him as a horse. I don't know. We'll talk more horse tomorrow. But definitely find the mutters because it looks like it could be muddy. So I'll check in with Henry and see what he says. I know Brett Veach really likes horse racing as well. That's one of those guys that not only is good at the draft, he's good at Formula One, NASCAR, and picking horses
as
well.
Is he good at it or is he just like watching it? There's a difference in being good at it and liking it.
I don't know. He's got the money now. He can buy a horse. He can do it. Call him Mahomes or whatever.
I don't mean this as an insult to Brett Veach. Brett Veach does not have buy a horse money. He's
got buy a horse money.
How much do you think these horses cost?
I don't know. A million? Couple million?
No.
More than that.
He does not have buy a horse. He can buy into a team. Like a team buys a couple buy a horses. Team. I don't think Brett Veach has a horse out there.
Does Mahomes have
Mahomes might.
He's got a part of that Formula One team.
There was like a couple Saudi princes that had horses. Like this is big money. This is not millionaire money.
Well, American Promise, I say he's a 2018 Triple Crown winner, Justify, the son of the 2018, so you find there Dwayne Lucas. I've heard of him. He's a good trainer. As far as text line, south side or north side, I know it's south side. I was there when the Royals clinched at 14. It's all that matters. I will say this. I know they have south side on their City Connect jerseys. That's right, they do. Did you see their other City Connect jerseys? They're wearing a tribute to the Chicago Bulls. They have Chicago Bulls-like uniforms. Do you like those?
I mean, I don't like it because it's not their color scheme, but I saw they're doing it.
It's not the color scheme.
I think it's really goofy to have it not. If the Royals start wearing red for the Chiefs, I think that's goofy too.
Some people think so. I don't go for that. They look cool. I've seen some of the renderings. Man, don't go Chicago Bulls if you're the White Sox. And some of these City Connects are terrible. I love the Royals. I think they're the best City Connects. Not because I live here, because I do think it. Like the Mets have that bridge on it. It's stupid. On the helmet, and they're like purple and gray and stuff. Man. The City Connects of the Royals are awesome. Love that. We'll talk more Derby tomorrow. We'll look into who are some of the best mutters. Rob Britton, this is Jay Binkley. Logan Weber comes next with After Hours. We'll see you guys tomorrow.